So this might be new to you. So I'm going to go through what Theos Feast is all about, kind of the story of Theos Feast. Okay, so do I need to do something up front? We're just going to switch it over to, so I can actually control my computer here. Do I just hit play?
Is the display on?
I don't see it here.
Oh, mirror built in.
Okay.
Is it on one? It's on mirror right now. We have it in the back, so maybe we'll follow along from the back. Is that okay?
Sure. Is it actually is going? Okay? Is it hit play?
Yeah. Some of the fonts might not work. Maybe go from the back.
Oh, hey, there it is. Wonderful. So I'm going to tell you a little story about Theos Feast. So I'm a university chaplain at Simon Fraser University. How many here are familiar with Simon Fraser University? How many attend or have attended or will attend Simon Fraser University? I know it's not too far away from here. So I'm a chaplain there. I work with Power to Change. So Power to Change is an organization. My role is to engage with university students and share the gospel with them and disciple them. And so my entire congregation, my target audience, is made up of everyone who's participating of anything at Simon Fraser University. So that you're looking at around 35,000 students, not including staff and faculty, etc. So I have a lot of fun there. My role there is to get people who really don't think at all about the Christian faith and about Jesus. I want to get them curious and get them thinking about God. And so I do all kinds of things to do that. And so I'm going to tell you the story of how this idea of Theos Feast came together. Now, Theos, see here, I'm looking at the screen. Am I going to use this? Ah, okay. Sorry, we're going to take a minute. So a lot of people will ask me, who's Theo? So Theos is the Greek word for God. And the idea of Theos Feast is really inspired by the concept of theophany. Theophany is a kind of a theological word that describes how, defines when God reveals himself in a very tangible way. Kind of think about Moses in the burning bush. So Moses is going through the desert, and all of a sudden he hears this name, Moses, and he sees this bush on fire. He's like, what? Right? So God showed up through the fire, God's speaking to Moses on an audible voice. He's engaging in relationship and connecting with Moses, right? So a theophany is really when God reveals himself in a way that is tangible to our human senses, whether you hear the voice of God or ideally even taste the kingdom. So when I understood the concept of theophany and all that, I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is, you know, what God wants. So I'm going to back it up a little bit more. I'm going to tell you the story of how this idea came together. So as a chaplain at Simon Fraser University, I'm often praying and thinking about how do I reach out to people. And as a pastor, as Pastor Bill or even Pastor Phil here might seem like a pastor, we're supposed to hear, you know, as we're praying, we want to be able to also hear from the Lord, right? And sometimes when you hear from the Lord, it can come very unexpectedly. So, it was a year I got married. I was barbecuing a salmon in my backyard barbecue, and I was expecting some friends to come over for dinner. They were also a newly married couple, and we thought, hey, this is going to be cool. We'll have a couple-to-couple time. And it was I remember specifically, it was an old, clunky old barbecue. I got a hand-me-down from my neighbors. And it was a cloudy day. And I was just doing my thing, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart out of the blue. And he said, you're going to write a cookbook for me. I was like, did I just hear that? What? And I looked up the sky. I remember it was cloudy because I remember hearing the Lord's voice. It wasn't audible in the way of, you're going to write a cookbook for me. I was like, but yet, at the same time, he spoke to my spirit. It was very, very clear. And it startled me. And I looked down at my salmon. I looked up at the sky. I'm thinking, well, no, come on, really? And yet, I knew deep down in my soul that the Lord spoke to my heart. But I didn't really know what to do with it. So I kind of went back to my chaplaincy duties and, you know, kind of doing my thing. A good amount of time went by. And during my devotional time, I remember one morning, I got the poke again from the Holy Spirit. He says, when are you going to start my book? And I'm like, you again? like I'm, as if I'm not supposed, you know, I'm surprised to hear from him, but now he's poking me again and bugging me. And I was like, really? You know, am I, you know, hearing things or is this really you, right? I was kind of, you know, I didn't really seem worthy. I wasn't a cook by any means to be able to write a cookbook. I'm like, you got the right guy here? I kind of felt like Moses in the burning bush. Like, you want me to go do what? You want me to go free the slave? Like, what? No, come on, you know, really. So some more time goes by. And again, during my devotional time, got another poke. Same thing. So I finally started praying about it. So, okay, I think you're getting my attention here. You actually want me to do this, but I don't really know how to cook. How am I going to do this? Really? You sure you got the right guy? And so I started putting together, well, first what I did, I started praying about it. It's like, okay, Lord, you got to show me what you want me to do here. And as I was praying and I was reading scripture, he started showing me all the different places where he uses food to reveal himself. Right? Now, I'm sure many of you guys can think of different... What is an example that you can think of when God, in the scripture, uses food to reveal himself? Anybody take me up on an idea? Fish and loaves. Yes, just what we talked about in the scripture this morning, right? Feeding the 5,000, right? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He changed water into wine. Think of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Humanity ate their way out of the presence of God. And yet through communion, we eat our way in, back into the kingdom, right? So I quickly realized that God's a foodie. He created all these wonderful flavors. And he's the one who he's kind of poking me about, you know, writing this cookbook, even though I didn't feel like I really, you know, other than cooking for friends, really knew how to cook. So I started slowly putting together what I call edible metaphors. Now, an edible metaphor is a new kind of a term, a concept that I kind of created, or it was really God's idea. And what I might do here quickly, Phil, could you take these cards? I can show you guys. It might be easier to see them even on the screen. Let's go around and pass out a card. I'm going to everyone. And I'm going to, you know, walk you through that. Once you guys have the cards, I'm going to walk you through it quickly. So I started putting together these edible metaphors that communicated through the flavor and the presentation of the food a biblical idea. Okay, so as you get your card, one example of an edible metaphor is called Adama salad. Now, Adama salad looks like a carrot growing out of a pot of soil. But the idea behind that is that how God is the eternal gardener. And it's actually a pumpernickel mushroom soil with a tomato ricotta salad. So I started putting these ideas together, and some students heard about what I was doing on campus, invited me to come to their discipleship group. And, wrong one. Flick it the other way. Okay, sorry. That way? Aha. There you go. Okay. So some students invited me to come, and I explained this concept of Theos Feast to them. I'd never done a dinner before cohesively. I've had five dishes at this point that I developed, and I thought communicated the gospel through food. And they loved the idea. So that we want to do this, but we want to do it, you know, as an outreach to our friends. And I said, well, that's perfect, because that's what it is. And I said, you can't come unless you invite someone who doesn't follow Jesus yet. And if not, you can be a server. But I want to cap it at 40 people because I thought it's going to be a plated dinner, five courses times like 200 plates. It's like, that's going to be a lot, right? I need some help. And we didn't have any money. So we had to charge your friends to come. So you made these simple little invitations, handmade invitations that... to that one now. I'm a little bit off on my PowerPoint. Sorry. Handmade invitations that we sent out to our friends, charged them $25 each to come and prayed and waited to see what would happen. We also challenged them. I said, take a step of faith. Invite those who are the least likely to come. So we had our RSVP deadline, and the next thing you know, we're waiting. There's like nothing happening, right? In the age of Facebook, handing out a handmade invitation takes a while because you got to see your friend. And all of a sudden, the day of the RSVP deadline, it jumped from like two or three people coming to sold out, and then I had a waiting list. A total of 56 people wanted to come, including professors, including faculty. It was kind of crazy of what happened there. I'm going to fast forward this a little bit. Get into the... more on the story of Theos Feast. We had a wonderful time. We didn't really know what we were doing. Everybody loved it. And at the end, as I read the comment cards, I was astounded by what people said. They absolutely loved it. And I was just like, wow, okay, God, is this really what you want me to do? So I gathered my volunteers together again. I think that was March the 1st, 2014. And then we did it again in October, just for fun. And then we did it again, and did it again, and did it again. And next thing you know, now I have five different themes. So the whole idea of Theos is the idea of a grand feast. Kind of like the idea of the wedding supper of the Lamb. That God is a part of that feast. That God wants to reveal himself through the food. The big idea really is about how just the whole idea of even Jesus being the bread of life, that he wants to be an integral part of our relationships. But I also find, as I'm passionate about sharing my faith, and I find the hardest part of sharing the gospel is really just getting that conversation started. So what Theos Feast really is makes it easy for people to share their faith through the food. So what I'm going to do is kind of give you the concept of how I pair the stories to the food, and I'm going to walk through a basic what the original Theos Feast is and how the gospel is revealed through the different dishes. So, and you guys all understand the concept of flavor pairings, okay? So flavor pairing is when two different foods, two different ingredients have harmony with one another, okay? So for example, tomato and basil. Tomato by itself is good. Basil on its own is really good. But you put them together, there's something magical. There's some harmony there that brings new flavors out, right? So that concept of flavor pairing is basically what I do with the different biblical stories. And also having an understanding of how students at the university kind of choose their worldview. It's kind of like in the fast food court in the mall. Whatever looks good, feels good at the time is how they set up their belief system. They don't think about it deeply. So I want to, through my food, I want to be able to communicate something unique and get some good ideas across. I also realize that there's a lot of real fancy restaurants around that create pretty fancy food. Has anyone ever heard of Alinea? It's a fancy restaurant. Ah, I got one back there. How about El Bulli? Any other? Oh, okay, we got some foodies back here. Okay, got some nods. So these guys are some of the top chefs in the world, and they make some pretty fancy, creative dishes. And there's a story behind that dish, a little bit of what inspired them, but that's as far as it goes. So I thought, I'm going to take that concept of creating some artistic food and pair it to story and help make it easy for people to have good gospel-centered conversations over dinner. That's the idea of Theos Feast. So my first dish and my very first feast looks like a carrot growing out of a pot of soil. You'll see it on the front of your postcard here. And it's really inspired by Genesis 2, 7, and 8. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust, which is also the Hebrew word for dust is adamah, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. What's interesting about this is that you can see it in Scripture, but you can also see it through, even through science, that God created everything through soil. All of us are connected to the soil. Okay, so we have a short story that comes out with each dish, that it breaks down the inspiration behind the dish, and then you're free to eat the dish. So this story, for example, is how God is the eternal gardener and how he created everything from soil. And what's interesting about it is people will say, hey, I thought I was coming to a gourmet dinner and you're going to feed me dirt. Yet it's a pumpernickel mushroom soil with a fire roast tomatoes and a basil pesto. It's really delicious. It's nicely paired together. And people really enjoy digging in. And now we have an inspired conversation around the table to have with your friends on that topic. The next dish is called Paradise Lost. So this looks like an apple. But the idea behind this is basically the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So I thought about it. I thought, okay, if I was to recreate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, what would that look like? In our culture, a lot of people think of it as that apple. They were tempted by this, you know, red delicious apple, and they ate it, and they fell from, you know, God's grace, right? So I thought, okay, so, but yet, it wasn't just an apple, was it? There was, you know, maybe it was just a simple fruit. We don't really know, but I thought, just using my imagination, I thought, what could I do that would communicate how they were deceived by the serpent? So it looks like an apple, but it's not an apple at all. It's actually a ham and cheese pate with a red apple jelly on the outside. And the idea behind it is it's not an apple, it's actually meat, is that idea of deception and how we're tempted yet deceived through deception, through temptation. And so we have a quick story, another short story, about the problem of evil and why is there evil and suffering in the world. And the next dish is called Salt of the Earth. So the concept here is very much inspired by Matthew 5:13. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. So we unpack that metaphor a little bit. But really, the concept here is kind of the idea as we started out in the Garden of Eden, there's a fall. And yet, all through the rest of humanity, all throughout history, humanity's got a thirst and a hunger for God. They may not recognize it's God they're hungry for, especially in the area of justice. When something goes wrong in the world, we cry out saying, you know, this is wrong. We want to change. You know, we want the world to change. The world is broken. How do we fix it? Right? How do we bring harmony, shalom, back to the earth, back into our lives? Okay, so the idea of shalom is a harmony with all things. So what I did with this dish, it's a very simple dish, and just like how Jesus communicated, he would take something that we're already familiar with and communicate it, use it as a metaphor to communicate a biblical idea. And in this dish, it's very simple. It's simply a watermelon salad. But if you add a little bit of salt to watermelon, it brings out the sweetness of that watermelon. And so just a collection of different herbs, some salty ingredients, pistachio, and some prosciutto, basil, and mint. Very, very simple dish. But when you put all those ingredients in your mouth at the same time, it's shalom. It's shalom in the mouth. It's really, really delicious. And it communicates that idea of harmony. The next dish is inspired by Jesus' words that we just spoke about in John 6:35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So this is very much coming from the idea of how God wants us. He uses the idea of symbolism. I use symbolism a lot through Theos Feast, and I'm just borrowing that idea right from the Bible, right from Jesus. Because he uses symbolism all the time, especially when he talks about that he is the bread of life. He wants to be our sustenance. He uses something as simple as bread, something that's really a part of our everyday lives, to remind us of who he is. And it's just a profound yet simple way of using the idea of symbolism. So in my dinners, I use a variety of different versions of the bread of life. One of my most recent dishes that's very popular is a simple individually sized beef Wellington. So we have the bread, the pastry on the outside, and the beef tenderloin on the inside. We have a very delicious red wine demi-glace. So we have the bread and the wine as a main course for the dinner. And now we're having a conversation about how Jesus is the bread of life. And what makes it fun, it makes it easy to have a conversation about Jesus here, because it's around dinner, and it's also an insightful story that people, a new perspective that they may not have considered before. And so I find as people are having dinner around the table, you're no longer trying to have a poke them about Jesus. They're actually there and they want to talk, and it opens them up. And they really enjoy not just the food, but the conversation that's happening. So they're really experiencing the gospel with all of their senses. So if I was to ask you a question, what do you think is the main message? If you were to ask your friend who doesn't follow Jesus and ask them the simple question, what's the main message of the Christian faith? What do you think they would say? How do they summarize it? Sorry, Phil? What do you think they would say?
Christian friends?
Yeah, someone who doesn't follow Jesus.
Oh, rules.
Rules. Okay. Why? Why? How do we get that perception of rules? Yeah, a lot of do's and don'ts. Okay. Keep your tie on straight. I got a tie today. I very rarely wear a tie, so I'm going to have to wiggle it. Shine your halo, right? Do all the good things. And maybe if there's a God, he'll let you into heaven when you die, if there's one, right? But I want to live my life my own way and be free from all things of that would tie me down. That's what they think, right? Yet, is that what the Christian faith is about? Not at all. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven's a feast. Turned water into wine. I'm the bread of life, right? Well, I know that when I discovered Jesus, it changed everything for me. I grew up in a good home, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We weren't going to church. I started walking with Jesus when I was 23. And when I discovered him, changed everything. So I knew that the real idea, the real true concept that the world is missing is not just that they're not experiencing Jesus, but they don't really truly understand God's grace, because once you encounter him and encounter God's grace, it changes everything. So I needed a dish that would communicate that. And so I was reading a book called 1001 Foods to Eat Before You Die, something I discovered, bumped into in the library one day. And I was just going through it, and I had all kinds of different ingredients I'd never heard of, like Kobe beef and these, you know, strange yams and all this other stuff. And I came across one. It was just one page write up. It was a thick book, one page at a time, one ingredient. And I came across something called the miracle berry. And I thought, when I read the properties of what the miracle berry did, I thought, that's grace. Has anyone here ever heard of a miracle berry before? So what the miracle berry does is it temporarily covers over the sour receptors in your tongue. And so what's traditionally sour, like a lemon, now becomes as sweet as candy. And it brings out the sweetness that's always been there. And when I learned about that, I thought, aha, right away, the idea of God's grace, the transformational power of encountering Jesus came to mind. So I ordered them. I discovered that I could buy them on Amazon.com. So I ordered some in, and I thought I'd give them a try. And sure enough, an absolute transformation. And what was unique about it is the idea of how, behold, I make all things new. So I also created, so since I created my original feast, I have created five different themes now. Now, one of the themes came out of an idea. I used the concept of, basically, has anyone here ever heard of the band U2? No, one, two, three, four? Okay, there are a few hands going up. So U2 is an interesting group. They're a very, very popular secular rock band, yet they have a Christian roots. And I use my original dinner, I use the concept of God's grace and communicate it through Bono. Has a very interesting Quote, he says, grace defines reason and logic. Love interrupts, if you like. The consequences of your actions, which is my case, is not very good news, indeed, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. He takes the concept of grace, and he communicates it in a very unique way, and I use his words, his quote, in my original feast. And so one of my students, who was going to Regent at the time, he said, Gary, why don't you invite you too to come to your feast? They would love it, of all your symbolism and your symbolism and metaphor, because they sing about that stuff all the time. I'm like, what? That's kind of like inviting the most popular rock band in the world, inviting them for dinner. Yeah, right. That's like inviting the Queen, right? So, but I thought, I got the poke. You know what I'm saying with the poke? The Holy Spirit kind of gave me the poke. You should do something with this, Gary. I was like, what? How am I going to do something with the U2 thing? What? So I prayed about it, and I got the idea, and I'm pretty sure it was his idea, God's idea, is why don't you start a U2 feast? So I did. As I listened to songs and rewind them, and the Bono just sing about Jesus there. But did he really say this? So I created a U2 feast that actually shares the spiritual journey of U2 through the actual food. Paired the food to song. Fast forward this a little bit. And it's a lot of fun. And even end up being on a documentary with U2 for U2 fans. You got Bono and there's me and there's Bono again. I'm like, how did that happen? So I have five different themes. If you look at your card here, I'm just going to point them out. I have a Christmas theme, which we experienced with Pastor Bill and Phil and all here. I have the U2 theme that's just represented through the light bulbs here and the dish in the middle. I also have an Easter theme and I have a science theme. I'm currently working on an 80s rock and roll theme. Anybody grew up in the 80s? Anybody with me on that one? It's going to be a lot of fun. So, what are people saying about Theos Feast? This is what's astounding me. Okay? It was simply amazing. I was so touched. I never knew that food could be related to such spiritual matters. That was one of the first quotes, my very first feast comment cards, my very first feast ever. I was blown away. It's like, wow. The interpretation of the dishes, as well as how the dishes were presented, glorify God and spread the word of God's love in a creative, God-pleasing, and inviting way. That was the second comment card on my first feast ever. I was still like, what? Wow. That changed the way I look at things that I used to think of as ordinary can truly be extraordinary. Again, first feast ever. I was like, what? Wow. Okay, God. What's going on here? What are we doing? It seems like this is not just my idea, this is yours. So my goal, my vision, is to go around and help people put on feasts, help them, whether in their own homes or a feast like we did at the church here in December. My goal is to inspire people to help them share their faith by putting on these dinners and sharing the gospel through the conversation that it inspires. My goal as well is to get that cookbook published. My goal is to get a few more themes finished and refined and work the kinks out. And then I have myself a book. If you go to my website, theosfeast.com, you can explore the different themes. You can explore the different opportunities. I am looking for volunteers. I'm looking for partners. Spiritual investors, people who want to join me in this fun endeavor. The next event that I have coming up is on Thursday, February the 28th. I'm going to be doing a lunch version, just a short kind of a preview for pastors and ministry leaders. You don't have to be a pastor or even a ministry leader to come. It's kind of targeted for them. It's open to anyone, but it's going to be an overview of Theos Feast. I'm going to have three courses and just do a quick run-through of what it is. And it's something you can invite others to. And if you want to get some more people involved at your church or check out other feast ideas, such as the Easter feast. I also am working on a film project. I have a producer now who wants to help me with it. So I'm raising funds to do a film project. And the idea behind the film project is to create three different short films. One is the how-to recipes on the original feast. So people look at my food and say, oh, I could never make that. But they don't forget. And they might forget, I'm not a chef. If I can do it, you can do it too. Capturing the message behind each dish so that you can just put it on your big screen TV at home and host your own feast at your house if you wanted to. And also, he wants to create a documentary on what God's doing through Theo's Feast and submit it to different streaming platforms and film festivals to kind of build some awareness of what Theo's Feast is doing and what God's doing through it. So in a nutshell, that's Theo's, you know, a walk through the original dinner of Theo's Feast. I have some miracle berries and some lemons here today. So if anybody would like to try a taste of grace, I think we're going to gather downstairs afterwards. You're welcome to come and try it out. If you have any questions, feel free to check in with me then. All right, thank you very much.